Yeah. Yo, step into the ring where the stories get raw. Junkyard James spitting truth, no flaw. Beyond the junkyard, the tales collide. Wrestling's wild side, come and take the ride. Chairs fly, ropes snap, legends unfold. Every move, every slam, the drama is gold. From the underground brawls to the title fights, we break it all down under spotlight nights. Beyond the junkyard, where the stories get told. Steel cages, bright lights, the moment's so bold. From the past to the future, the mat stays strong. Junkyard James, keep it real all day long. Tune in, strap up, it's about to get wild. Powerbomb the truth, no sugar, no mild. Every heel, every face, every match that burns. The junkyard delivers, now it's your turn. So hit play, no delay, the bell has rung. Beyond the junkyard, where the legends are sung. Junkyard James got the mic in his grip. Wrestling podcast vibes, now let's take the truth.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to episode number 139. I'm Junkyard James. This is the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. I appreciate everybody showing up. And as always, I'm going to start the show by saying you got a couple of things I need you to do for me. The first one, it's a four letters, one word, like this video, comment, share, subscribe, push that notification bell. If you're listening on the audio platforms, go ahead and leave us a five-star review like it's Dave Meltzer on a match in the Tokyo Dome, and let everybody know that I, in fact, keep it real all day long. This is going to be a good show for you. I'm going to start the show by talking about some changes we may be making with the content on at least the Thursday show and the reasoning behind that. And then we'll get into some Ring of Honor, Death Before Dishonor thoughts. I have a couple of them. And then we'll end the show with the monologue, which I'll keep the topic silent. You probably know it because it's going to probably be the episode title, and so I'll keep my thoughts to that part of the show. But first, let's talk about W Energy. They have been a affiliate partner with us for quite some time now, and I appreciate them for letting us use this code and help you guys save a little bit of money on their energy products, W Energy. Go to W.GG. Use the code Beyond the Yard for 10% off your order. They have new Japanese soda energy mix. And I don't know exactly what Japanese soda is supposed to taste like, but it's a little interesting to me. I may actually have to use the code myself and buy me some of that. It's so easy to use W. A lot of their stuff is like a powdered mix. So you just take a scoop, pour it into your water, shake it up, and now you have your caffeine on the go in a clean, healthy way with no BS, none of the bad chemicals and stuff that some of the other energy drinks put in their products. And it actually tastes very, very good. Go to W.GG, use the code Beyond the Yard for 10% off. All of our other affiliate partners as well, StubHub, RSS.com, WWE Shop, join the Discord. All of those links will be in the description or show notes. All right, let's get going with some of our big topics today. All right, the first topic, let's talk about this show. So I feel like we're entering the point of the year now with the wrestling industry that I like to call non-peak season. And so I take that phrase because I used to work in the storage industry, like renting storage units. And they have peak and non-peak season. And so peak season for like the storage industry, I would say would be like right when college gets out in the spring, summer, right until when the college students start going back to school in the fall. that's about peak season, right? So you have the college kids that need a unit. You have people that are moving from place to place and need a place to store. And so you usually are busy during the summer months. It's hotter. People are moving around. And so it makes sense. And then you have non-peak season, which is like where you have the occasional, you know, storage rental. But you may, you know, you get a lot of your rentals during those peak months. And wrestling's kind of the same way, in my view, where you have a lot of months where you're very hot. And so to me, the peak season for WWE, AEW wrestling in general, would be like the last couple weeks of January, depending on when Royal Rumble is. Royal Rumble is usually, I think, the last week of January or the second to last week of January, all the way through about August, right? So you get a good 6 months of hot wrestling where stories are actually kind of making a little bit of sense. And then once you hit September, it's like after Labor Day, WWE especially, but in some ways AEW does it too. They just put the show on autopilot and they kind of coast before creating the new stories that they're going to tell at the next peak season. And so when like AEW, they do this in a classic where we're going to get really good matches, but not a whole lot of story development gets told in these Continental Classic matches. And we have a little bit of the side stories, the smaller undercard stories that get told and progress. And then, you know, people move up and down the card. And this is a good time to do those experimentations. I actually think this would be a good time, especially with Naomi being out. And I said this a couple episodes ago, for WWE to experiment with some of their mid-card women's talent to see if there's someone that can step up and fill in a gap with the main people in WWE's women's division. Someone like a Chelsea Green, who is over with the fans, can she actually compete with the big dogs and the industry and the business? And in the same way, Will Ospreay's out, Swerve Strickland's out. We talked about that on Thursday. Can AEW experiment a little bit with someone and see if they can fit in that upper echelon of people in AEW, and maybe we can make another superstar in one of these companies? But this is non-peak season, and so that would be a great time to experiment and see, can we have somebody when it comes to next year's peak season that we can trust to have a spot in the upper card? But we're kind of at that point, and they're as the person who puts the shows together for Thursday and Saturday show, it gets a little fatiguing to try and find new content to talk about, because we on the show before, we've gone, you know, through recaps of Dynamite and stuff, and to me, those are just kind of boring to talk about. I think the wrestling itself, the show itself, sells itself better than I can sell the show. I don't think me going through a match by match recap of AEW Dynamite is going to get anybody to watch AEW Dynamite. My advice is, if you want to watch AEW Dynamite, just turn it on. It's on HBO Max. The replays usually get posted like the day after. And so you can just turn it on and watch it for yourself and see if you enjoy it. Same thing with WWE. I don't think, like, I know JD from NY goes after every show, does like a 4-hour recap talking about Raw and SmackDown. JD will not sell me watching Monday Night Raw with his recap. If I wanted to see what Monday Night Raw was, I would just get Netflix and watch it, because that's like, to me, I think the show sells itself better than any person with a microphone. And so I've vowed myself to not do those recap videos. There are going to be those live streamers and things that do those type of content. To me, my reaction's not that important. I don't think people would tune in to watch what I gotta, how I'm going to react to shows. And to be quite honest, when I watch wrestling, I watch it with a keen eye, I usually don't get super animated. I sit there and I watch and I think about my thoughts. And unless something pops me, like, you know, super large, like Bandito versus Konosuke Takeshita popped me. I was a little animated during that match. But like, I'm not usually the type of person that's going to, you know, have these big outlandish reactions. So that kind of content wouldn't work on this channel. I don't want it to work on this channel. I want to be able to be a little bit creative, talk about things in a different way and a different light, and just kind of talk about the business of wrestling, kind of how I think things through. And so we're kind of entering non-peak season here, but I want to put on episodes. And so instead of taking like 4 weeks off and losing the momentum that we're having, we kind of debuted this on Thursday, but we're going to integrate other topics outside of the wrestling industry, at least on the Thursday show, to kind of breathe a new life into the show. And so it may be talking about college football or pro football or hockey or just something else to start the show, to let people come into the live streams, get settled before we start, you know, giving these super hot takes on pro wrestling. That way there's only a finite amount of stuff I can talk about in the wrestling business, right? Unless I want it to do the weekly recaps. So with this style, we're going to don't be surprised if one Thursday you turn on the live stream and there's, you know, the first 30 minutes we're talking about college football or pro football before we transition to talk about some major wrestling stuff. We're trying to reach, again, a broader audience who likes wrestling but also likes other things. And so let's give them those other things that they can tune into. But yeah, that's it. The Saturday show, this show, probably going to kind of keep the same format as it has, with me doing the monologue and depending on the week and what the IWC is talking about, we may have a little bit extra to talk about, but like the monologue's a piece. But I want to talk about a little bit of some other wrestling news because this is kind of that setting, right? But especially the Thursday live stream, we're going to add some outside content, outside of the wrestling business content to the show. But let's talk about some wrestling here. Last night, Friday, the 29th of August, Ring of Honor was at 2300 Arena in Philadelphia. The crowd was wild. They were popping. They were doing the EAGLES Eagles chants like any Philly crowd does. They were hating on anyone from Texas, anyone from Dallas. It was a good crowd, but Death Before Dishonor was on. And the show had a lot of ups, but I think there were a few downs. And so let's talk about the downs first. I think the first down was, if you had Honor Club and you were trying to watch on, was it Safari? No, I'm sorry. Firefox or Google Chrome, one of the major browsers. If you were trying to watch it there was an issue to where the show wasn't showing. And unless you watched on the Honor Club app, you weren't able to watch Death Before Dishonor using your Watch ROH show. Now, that's a down. It's your pay-per-view. You know, the people who pay to watch these shows can't watch it. So Tony Khan did something actually good. So this is, it's kind of like it's a down that it didn't work, but it's kind of a up. So up with Tony Khan's response. So you kind of put your hand in the middle. It kind of washes out. Tony Khan ended up putting Death Before Dishonor live on YouTube for free. I think at most like 19 or 20,000 people were watching on Ring of Honor's YouTube channel, Death Before Dishonor. And like I have the Honor Club app on my TV, so I was able to watch it through the app, but the people that weren't, they watched it on YouTube for free.
instead of having to pay $9.99 a month. But Tony Khan's crediting your 1 month free for current Honor Club members. So I think Tony Khan's just a true businessman, a true gentleman when it comes to business. And he understands that this is frustrating, and the way that he's going to fix it is, well, you get a free month of Honor Club if you are a current member. Now, new members won't get it, I believe, but current members get $9.99 credited to your Honor Club account. Now let's talk about some ups. The show was really good. I don't think there was a singular match that was like outright awful. Now, I wasn't a fan of the Sammy Guevara angle, and I'll be honest. So like, Sammy should have been a heel. He does better work as a heel than he does a face. But the way that they made it happen, I'm not a fan, because I don't like when like a wrestler and a babyface tag team or stable turns heel and joins a heel tag team or stable. I don't like that. Like, and I think Sammy Guevara is good on his own. He's pretty good on the mic. He doesn't need a stable around him. So for him to jump from Sons of Texas straight into LFI, I was not a big fan. I think Sammy Guevara can hang on his own. At one point, he was thought of as one of the four pillars of AEW, MJF, Darby Allin, Jack Perry, and Sammy Guevara. And now I don't know what he is. I really do feel like this may be his last opportunity to get a character or a gimmick over in AEW before they kind of have to cut their losses with him. I think his style is better suited for WWE, to be honest. I think he would put on killer matches in NXT where he can kind of generate a character, and I think the crowd would fits to more his style. I think I don't know if he fits it in the rugged AEW extreme style. He had some really good matches with Cody Rhodes at the beginning of his run in AEW, but ever since he got kind of caught in the Jericho vortex, it's just kind of been like jumping from stable to stable to stable to stable. And to me, it's like, I don't know. He kind of has the same reaction like with Wardlow. Wardlow, he goes from stable to stable to stable to stable. I think Wardlow, he doesn't need to have a mouthpiece. Like, I think Wardlow could get himself over. But just because of his size and his aura. But I don't know. I wasn't a big fan of the Sammy Guevara stuff. It seems like, though, LFI will be feuding with the Von Erichs. Maybe that means LFI at some point in time is just going to focus on Ring of Honor. This is another thing about it is Tony Khan likes to meld the rosters together. And I really wish that we had a definitive like Ring of Honor roster and a definitive AEW roster, and not have people that are just going, you know, from place to place with no definitive direction on where their main priorities lie. And we see this again with Bandido. He's ROH world champion, but now AEW tag team champions. And so now it's like, what story takes precedence? Bandido for the ROH belt or Brodito for the AEW World Championships? And I know he's going to do well in both, but I really feel like having him be a champion and a tag team and a champion in a singles, it's like you're stunting one or the other at some point in time. Like, because he's not going to fight for both belts in the same weekend most times. And maybe he will. It's Bandido. He's a really good wrestler. He likes to wrestle. He can put on really good matches. Maybe he will, but I don't know. It's just, maybe it's just a personal preference. I like Brodito, but I'm not necessarily sure they should be tag team champions. They should be a good tag team. I'd be cool with them tag teaming. But as tag team champions, when there are actual, you know, pretty good tag teams available that can actually maybe not hinder an ROH storyline or vice versa. Anyways, small gripe. Now let's get on some ups about Death Before Dishonor. Paul Walter Hauser and QT Marshall, for a minute, I thought they put on match of the night. Now, Bandido didn't come out yet, so I knew Bandido was going to put on a good match, put on an absolute blast. If I was Dave Meltzer for a minute, I'm thinking that Hechicero versus Bandido match gets a 5.5 or 6 stars. Like, no joke. It was really good. Hechicero looked really good. Bandido looked very good. It was a very good Lucha Libre style match. I love Lucha Libre. Lucha Libre may be my favorite style of wrestling to watch. Bandido, though, locked up my vote for Wrestler of the Year with this match. There's no one that's been on as hot as a streak. Like, before this match, it was like a tie between Kinosuke, Takeshita, and Bandido, just because they both have been doing really good stuff the last several months. I think Bandido won it with his match. Like, Takeshita, he is no doubt going to have a really good match with, like, Okada or Kenny Omega or something. And then I'll be on here saying, oh, it's tied again. But I think right now, Bandido has it locked for Wrestler of the Year. But Paul Walter Hauser, dude, I think he's the story that I'm sticking with. Because I did not expect a lot out of this match. But they delivered, and they over-delivered on the execution of this match. It was a match without honor, basically a grudge match, a extreme hardcore match. There was shattered glass. There were barbed wire. There were tables. It was great. And Hook came out during that match. I just love that. I think Hook's character is, I'm just going to show up and take out people that are doing wrong, bad things. Like, he's basically Batman. He even has, like, the Hook signal. And I love it. And then he comes out and beats up Aaron Solo. And his music plays while he's beating him up. And then the minute he walks back behind the curtain, the music stops. I don't know. I'm intrigued by this new Hooked character. But Paul Walter Hauser is the story of the night. He put on a really good match. Did moves I didn't think he would ever take. And I put a tweet out last night that has gained a lot of steam overnight. As of this recording, 188 retweets or quoted tweets, 2,300 likes, 59,000 views. It's gone semi big in the wrestling world, because I put Paul Walter Hauser had a better match in Jelly Roll. And it's the truth. And I love Jelly Roll, but Paul Walter Hauser, one, was in a singles match, doing the work, doing moves that, like, experienced wrestlers learned. And I know Paul Walter Hauser has had more experience in the ring, but no one expected him to have this good of a match. Like, I seriously think Meltzer might give it 5 stars, or at the lowest 4 stars. It was a really good match. It executed really well. The fans were really into it. But yeah, Bandido and Hechicero had a match of the night. And then Athena and Mina Shirakawa had a really good match. Athena retained. She will become 1,000 days as champion. It's all good in the hood for the Forever ROH Women's Champion. I just love the vibe of the 2300 arena. But yeah, ROH Death Before Dishonor, it's free on YouTube. It's still up. You can watch it if you want. I would recommend you watch it. It's a 4-hour show, but there were some really good matches. Nothing really bad. I love that Shane Taylor Promotions has the Trios belt and the ROH Men's Pure Championship. They're going to end up having more gold than Don Callis family one day. There was some women's pure matches. Taya Valkyrie had a women's pure match against Oh, I can't remember who she fought off the top of my head. Was it Queen Aminata, I think? Deonna Purrazzo came back. I think there's a lot of good stuff building in ROH that just need to get in front of a bigger audience. All right, let's end the show. I don't want this to take too long, but it's everybody's favorite part of the show. It's the monologue. All right, in today's monologue, I'm going to tell you guys, like, regardless of what everybody seemingly thinks, AEW and in the same way, WWE's biggest competition is not each other, but it's someone else, something else. In fact, I think AEW and WWE need each other more than they should hate each other. And the fact that they're WWE and AEW are seemingly having a competition within themselves may end up destroying them both in some way, shape, or form. So let me tell you what I'm talking about. So first, to understand this, you have to understand, and I don't know if I mentioned this on the show ever before, but I'm going to school right now. I got 2 semesters left to get my master's degree in business administration. And I'm taking a class right now on business strategy. And we just started last week, but the first chapter is to define business strategy. And the first thing you have to do to define a business strategy is to determine your industry, right? So first off, like, strategy comes from the Greek word strategos. It's a battle term meant for, like, the role of a general in a war. But the key to a strategy is to determine your industry. And so to clearly define your industry, you have to see who your competitors actually are. And so you have to understand that your business, has to realize that customers are hiring your company to do a job. So you need to figure out who your buyers, your suppliers, your competitors, etc. are. And so what is the industry? So what is AEW's industry? Well, a lot of people off the top of their head will be like, well, it's the wrestling industry. In a way, they're right. But that's a sub-industry. The wrestling industry is a sub-industry, right? Just like Mercedes is in the luxury car industry, but that's a sub-industry of the larger automotive industry. And so while AEW needs to find a way to differentiate themselves enough from WWE, there is a little bit of competition that should, healthy competition that should arise between AEW and WWE at the key. Both are needed for the wrestling industry to grow and market share and the larger entertainment sector. So there are 5 forces that businesses need to understand. The first one are, who are your rivals? AEW's rival is WWE. So there is a rivalry there. There should be some healthy competition there. But that's just one piece of the pie. The second force are the power given to buyers or customers. They have some say in how a company does, how it thrives, how it you know, excels or decelerates. Then suppliers. in AEW's world, it would be like, who's going to supply the TV time? Who's going to supply the building? Who's going to supply the talent? And so if WWE takes up all of the suppliers, takes up all of the, you know, if they make it harder on AEW, or if AEW makes it harder on WWE, they may win the rivalry but lose the war. Because the fourth is new entrants. Is anybody else going to enter the wrestling industry? You have MLW, you have TNA, you have AAA, you have all of these other entrants. But the last one, this is the one I want to focus on, is substitute product. Substitute products or services. So like I said, the wrestling industry is a subset of the entertainment industry. So if you're watching Dynamite Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, you're not watching whatever else is on. You're not watching Fox News. You're not watching MTV. You're not watching NBC or Fox or whatever shows come on Wednesday. If you're watching Dynamite, you're not watching those other shows. But then if you're not watching Dynamite, there's a possibility you are watching those other shows, or you're scrolling TikTok, or you're watching YouTube, or you're on social media. And so with that idea, you have to understand the actual competition AEW is facing is not simply WWE. It's the rest of the entertainment industry. It's sports. It's reality TV. It's movies. It's other TV shows. It's Netflix. It's YouTube. It's Hulu, etc. Because our attention spans are shorter than ever. The content we watch matters. And if we lose the eyes to in the wrestling industry to other entertainment sectors, whether it be reality TV or sports or etc., we may never get them back to watch wrestling. And so this is why my biggest fear with this hyper focus on AEW versus WWE from a business perspective is actually harming the wrestling industry. And this is why I get so pissed off that WWE is doing everything in its power to destroy other wrestling companies, whether it be destroy AAA or buy AAA, whatever you want to say, and then with TNA. And then now they want essentially to make it so that AEW may not be able to get another TV deal by taking these companies out of the wrestling function. Those eyes, you're not guaranteed that all of the people that watch AEW are just going to magically come to WWE. They may just go to other places. Like I just said at the top of the show, I get fatigued, and we may talk a little bit about sports, because like I'm going to watch a lot of football coming up here soon. I'm going to watch a lot of basketball and baseball and hockey and other sports. I'm going to watch some other TV shows that may catch my eyes. I'm going to binge watch some things, you know? And so WWE, I think, has this assumption that if they destroy AEW, the eyes that are on AEW comes to WWE, and that's not necessarily the case, because there are other factors, other things that people may be watching outside of the WWE. And while they're so hyper-focused on this internal rivalry, you have shows like Love Island, you have sports like Monday Night Football and Thursday Night Football on Prime, who are doing big numbers, taking large portions of the pie. Well, it seems like wrestling has grown stagnant, and the reason wrestling, I think, has grown stagnant isn't because wrestling in and of itself isn't something people want to watch, but it's because there's this intense rivalry within the wrestling business. So now you have this tribalism of WWE versus AEW. And when and so you turn a blind eye to the actual competition, which are the other entertainment sectors. And so you piss off the AEW crowd, and so they don't watch WWE. They'll instead watch Monday Night Football instead of Monday Night Raw. Or they may watch the Friday night baseball game instead of SmackDown. Or they may watch the Tuesday night. On Tuesday night, they may binge watch, you know, One Tree Hill or Bosch or one of those legacy shows, Seinfeld. Or maybe there's a new show that comes out that they want to binge watch on Netflix instead of watching NXT. And so that's the real competition. AEW is not competing against WWE. Now they have a rivalry, and obviously AEW and WWE are fighting for the same assets, right? So yes, they both, right? So there's only a limited amount of wrestlers that are, you know, good enough to be at the top. There's only AEW or that are TV ready. There's only a limited amount of buildings. There's only a limited amount of time, and so there is a little bit of competition with AEW and WWE. But the bigger picture, the bigger competition is, if we want the wrestling industry to thrive, in the bigger picture of the entertainment industry or the live sport industry, or both, the live TV industry. And this is why I've always said, if I wanted to see sports entertainment, if I wanted to watch a soap opera, I would watch The Real Thing. Because why get a mockery, an imitation, a parody, when I could go see The Real Thing? If I wanted to just see a lot of drama and bickering, why would I watch WWE when I could watch Love Island? I can see the same thing on Love Island that I see in WWE. And it's probably better stories on Love Island. So in the bigger picture, AEW and WWE need each other. So they shouldn't. I guess the big thing I want to, the big takeaway I want to post here is, I don't get why WWE is booking against AEW. From a business perspective, would you not want to book it on a different day or different time to pull eyes away from other stuff, from other entertainment sectors? See, I think there's this hyper focus. I think WWE is buying into the tribalism of the IWC, the same IWC that they say they don't listen to. I think maybe by accident they are listening to them. They're buying into the tribalism. And listen, tribalism, I think, is natural when it comes to rivalries. You know, but in the big picture, if you fight the battle against your rival and you send all of your artillery to win that battle, the rest of the battlefield is being defeated by the other enemy, the bigger enemy, the larger enemy, which is the entertainment industry. That's AEW's real competition. That's why it's so big that Paul Walter Hauser does this stuff, because he could just sit with his Hollywood boys and, you know, be a fan of WWE, or be a fan of AEW, or be a fan of pro wrestling, and just sit there, collect Golden Globes, you know, do all of his movies that he's doing. But no, he comes and he's actually wanting to be a part of it. That's why it's such a big deal that Paul Walter Hauser's here. That's why it's such a big deal that Costco boys are in AEW, because a lot of people watch them. And if you can get eyes that watch them to watch AEW for just a split second, you might get more eyes on the product. And so again, I think it boils down to a mindset on how you're going to use your competitive advantage. AEW's philosophy, I think, on competitive advantage is we're not trying to put our valuable resources and capabilities. We're not trying to lock them in a cage with 24-hour protection as if it's some like rare, valuable jewel. We're trying to use our assets and mingle. They're trying to use their assets, mingle their assets, the stuff that gives them value to create layers of value, right? So if you like AEW and you see that Paul Walter Hauser's there, well, hey, Paul Walter Hauser's, you know, people, Paul Walter Hauser fans may tune in to watch Ring of Honor or AEW. And even if it's for one night, then you at least plant the seed. Layers of value. Whereas I think WWE's mindset is we have this asset, we have this character. We're going to patent it. We're going to trademark it. We're going to, you know, do everything in our capability to make sure people can't take our ideas from us, that they can't use our ideas. And that's an old, antiquated way of doing business. And both work. You just get the same result in different ways. But I think if both companies, because both are guilty of it, if they shifted focus from the rivalry and trying to destroy each other, we could actually grow the wrestling business. We could actually grow the piece of the pie that the wrestling industry has on live TV and the entertainment sector. Because at the end of the day, wrestling is no different than a soap opera. You're telling stories, there's drama, there's action, there's... At the end of the day, Love Island and WWE and AEW have a lot in common. It's you know, live action, supposedly. There's story, there's drama, there's chaos, there's good guys and bad guys. You cheer for certain people. And at the end of the day, there's a champion. There's a winner. So Love Island and pro wrestling have a lot in common. But what Love Island doesn't have that pro wrestling has is that in wrestling, there's a payoff, which is the good guy or the bad guy gets their ass kicked. You don't necessarily see that on reality TV. And so what should AEW do? What should WWE do? Let's focus on the bigger enemy. Like my enemy's enemy is my greatest enemy, right? I might be friends with my enemy just to grow the industry. AEW and WWE don't have to be cordial. They don't have to do events together, but at the least they should work together to build the wrestling industry. A subsect of the entertainment industry. So let me know what y'all think. That's the monologue. All right, y'all. I appreciate y'all for tuning into this show. That's about all I had for you today. Remember, though, hit that subscribe button, turn on those notifications, share it, comment, and like this video. Let me know what you think about the idea of AEW's actual competition and what you think they need to do. I think AEW is making the right steps to create value layers for their company where other companies may fail. I think there are things AEW needs to do, and so they still have opportunities to grow. But at the end of the day, I think they're focusing on the wrong competitor when there's a bigger competitor that they should be chasing. And if they chased that competitor and actually you try. I don't know what happened there, but anyway, like if AEW focused on the actual battle at hand, which is take down, you know, grow market share in the entertainment industry, they may kill two birds with one stone, and they can take care of the rivalry with WWE and grow in the entertainment sector as well. But I'm Junkyard James. This has been a Beyond the Junkyard podcast. Let me know what you guys think. We'll see you next Thursday with the live stream. Pro football is back starting next Thursday, so we may talk a little bit about that on Thursday's live stream. But y'all have a good weekend. Enjoy Labor Day. If you have Monday off, enjoy the day off. And we'll see you next week. Have a good day. Beyond.